Pen name Fulcrum. Written by Two C's and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Alexander Kallus / Zeb Aurelios. Summary. A new romance from an amateur and anonymous author has hit the HoloNet, with its scathingly accurate depiction of the Empire, nuanced and varied portrayal of defection, staunch rebel sympathy, action, adventure, and escapist romantic storylines, Heart's Rebellion hits all the right targets to make it the talk of the galaxy. Even the crew of the Ghost aren't impervious to its appeal. Now, Kallus must watch as his secret passion for romance stories becomes the Rebellion's favorite new obsession. Featuring Kallus's fictional romance, the Ghost crew as family, and Kallus's very real romance with one Garazab Aurelius.
I can't say the words out loud, so in a rhyme I wrote you down. Now you live through the ages, I can feel your pulse in the pages. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I have written you down now, you will live forever, and all the world will read you, and you will live forever.
Chapter 1. TK-973 had never seen a being so beautiful. The Twi'lek elbowed one of the raiders in the face, their weak face shield crunching into their nose on impact. "I thought the Empire was here to restore peace," she snarked, eyes flinty and full of fire. "Does this seem peaceful, Sir Stormtrooper?" "Wreck," TK-973 blurted. "Against protocol, against sense." The helmet did nothing to disguise the way his voice cracked, throat tight with the veritable storm of feeling just looking at this being caused within him. He'd never been so glad to have been separated from his squad and the sharp gaze of Lieutenant Tull. "My name's Wreck." The Twi'lek quirked an eyebrow at him, incredulous and assessing. A stray bolt of blazing red blaster fire scoured the wall behind her, sending out a flare of sparks that highlighted her bright yellow eyes and blue skin. "All right, Wreck. Is that weapon just ornamental, or..." Called to action, Wreck took aim and fired. The shot went wide. "Guess it is," she mumbled, unimpressed. Compelled by a need to prove her wrong, to show off, to keep them safe, Wreck yanked his helmet off and threw it to the ground in a way that he knew would have him facing serious disciplinary action should his superior ever find out. He shouldered his blaster and breathed out slowly, firing on the oncoming raiders. As several bodies fell, the Twi'lek turned a surprised smile on him, eyes darting over his newly exposed face. "Okay, you've sure shown me," she chuckled, low and melodic. "I'm Wynn, by the way." Kallus strode through the base, datapad in hand and eyes fixed on the new arrival. Though he tried to ignore the words of the pilots milling about, their cheerful conversation about their new favorite topic still caused his shoulders to tense ever so slightly. The Ghost's ramp dropped and the specters exited. "If it ain't my favorite defector," Zeb called out with a wave as he sauntered down ahead of the rest of the crew, smile reaching his eyes. "Hey," Sabine snorted from behind him. "Rude." Kallus returned the greeting with a smile of his own, smaller but no less genuine. "Garazeb, I see you're all back. And with an astonishing lack of carbon scoring on the Ghost, too." "I was shocked as well," Kanan mentioned, with a wry twist to his lips. Hera slapped him lightly on the arm. "What can we do for you, Kallus? Or is this a social call?" Zeb's ears perked up, and Kallus refused to address the increase in his heart rate. Kallus offered up the datapad. "This is for you, Captain Syndulla." Zeb's ears dropped, and Kallus could already feel himself reading too much into the slight motion. "Is it urgent?" Hera inquired, already glancing over the information. "Important, but not urgent," Kallus assured her. "I understand it has something to do with the various modifications for those fighters Sabine brought in recently." "You mean stole," Ezra piped up. "The fighters Sabine stole recently." "I prefer liberated from the clutches of the Empire," Sabine corrected smugly. "Whatever methods were taken in acquiring them, they were eventually brought in. I stand by my wording." Kallus sighed dryly. "Is that all?" Kanan asked, while Hera types something out onto the datapad. Playing courier seems a little low priority for Fulcrum, don't you think? Hardly, Callus dismissed. Then he turned towards Zeb. I finished my work for the day when your arrival was announced. As I was already heading in this direction, I saw nothing wrong with volunteering my services. Zeb's ears flicked back up. Missed us that much? Callus rolled his eyes and scoffed, but did not deny the claim. Zeb grinned wide enough to show his fangs. A small group of pilots passed by, nodding respectfully towards the crew of the Ghost before continuing on with their conversation. And the way Wreck covers for Wynn! I almost cried, it was too sweet! Callus thanked his ability to maintain a neutral face when all he wanted to do was grimace. And when Wynn slammed him against the wall thinking he was one of the enemy troopers! So hot, I wish a buff Twi'lek would push me up against a wall! The pilot who had just spoken seemed to realize they were still within earshot of the Ghost, face turning bright red at Hera's snort. Her compatriots laughed at her, hustling her off the landing zone with breathless, hurried apologies interrupted by their own laughter. No criffing way, Ezra groaned, slapping a hand over his face. Sabine pat him on the shoulder. I told you it was popular. Wedge recommended it to me, and he said a bunch of the other pilots had already started reading it. Give it a chance. I will not, Ezra whined. It's bad enough hearing you and Hera and Kanan talk about it the entire trip back. A cold wave swept through Callus's entire body. Callus, you've been on base. Sabine turned the conversation to him, curiosity in the tilt of her head. You've read Heart's Rebellion, right? Maintaining his composure, Callus kept his voice level as he answered. I have. It's great, right? Sabine clasped her hands to her cuirass in an unusual show of enthusiasm towards something he'd said. It was such a long trip to Mazum B that we all read it on the way. All of you? Callus inquired, heart quaking. Well, almost all, Hera corrected. Ezra and Zeb are too good for romance holonovels. Hera rolled her eyes at the aforementioned two, while Callus's heart fought itself, partially relieved and partially disappointed. I never said I was too good for it. There's nothing wrong with them, Zeb cried, throwing his hands up. They're just not for me is all. The disappointment began winning. And I told you you'd like it, Sabine pressed, crossing her arms. It has really great action scenes. I think the author must have some practical combat experience. Not to mention, it's totally pro-rebellion. I can't wait for the next chapters. The characters are complex and interesting, Hera added. And there's a lot of fun, too, Kanan contributed. Great beats of humor. Callus felt extremely touched. He held back a soft, pleased smile. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you've all said like a million times. I still don't care. It's mushy, Ezra complained sullenly. I'll take me into your big, strong arms. I'm yours. Blech. No thanks. That's a gross generalization of the genre, Kanan chided. I can't believe you like that bantha feed, Ezra continued. Then, eyes widening and shifting onto Callus like a horrified spotlight, wait, you read that bantha feed too! With the attention back on him, Callus needed to put his arms behind his back to hide the way he twitched his fingers to give physical vent to the emotions within him. Yes, I've read it. Really? Zeb's curiosity was well and truly caught, gaze focused and ears twitching. You like that sort of stuff? The entire base is talking about it, Callus deflected with honesty. It began with the pilots, but it quickly spread. And, Sabine prodded, her helmet held casually under her arm. Great, right? Callus decided on more abridged honesty. It has some very strong passages, and I do care about the characters and what happens to them. However, the romance leaves something wanting. It's not cliched, but it feels as if it is merely imitating some of the more notable examples in the genre, rather than creating something for itself. Okay, Mr. Literary Critic, Sabine scoffed. I can see that, Hera allowed, but you have to admit it's still a good read. I like to think so, Callus confirmed with a smile. Maybe I'll give it a shot then, Zeb hummed, still watching Callus with an interested expression. Panic raced up Callus's spine. If you're not particularly fond of the genre, no need to force yourself. No, don't let him change his mind, Sabine hurried out. Zeb, read it. I want to know what you think about the hand-to-hand close quarters fight scene in Chapter 7. Callus dreaded needing to discuss his romance holonovel further, But then Chopper chirped up with some information about the ghost's recent mission that perfectly shifted the direction of the conversation and reminded them all that they had places to be and command to report to. Along the way, Callus inquired about their adventures, Zeb a warm presence at his side, while the crew of the ghost recounted their mission's more ridiculous happenings, the kind that never made it into official reports. Callus relaxed for the first time in days, enjoying the way his and Zeb's arms brushed as they walked. Author's endnotes. Zeb, I've got no interest in some random romance. Callus has shown interest in the romance. Zeb, I just remembered how much I love reading, actually. Chapter 2. Don't move, Lieutenant Tull commanded, voice as icy as the coldest of moons. The barrels of two blasters pressed against Wreck and Wynn's lower backs. Sir, I can explain, Wreck tried desperately. But Wynn had nothing to do with this. If you just let her go, I'll... You don't need to explain, the officer cut clear across him, each syllable carefully enunciated. You've been a fool, TK-973, openly cavorting with local rebel sympathizers, hesitating when given orders, questioning the Empire in the mess and training rooms. His name is Wreck, Wynn grit out, every muscle poised to fight. Lieutenant Tull ignored her. Move, towards the lift just up ahead. Wreck and Wynn met each other's eyes, Wreck's desperate, Wynn's determined. She shifted, shoulders rolling. The blasters were pressed harder against their spines. Don't waste your time fighting me, Lieutenant Tull snarled. Get into the lift. Take it to Hangar 2. TK-973 knows the way. There is a confiscated ship, a Corellian smuggling vessel. The magnetic clamps just so happen to be malfunctioning, despite my various formal reports to maintenance. The captain of the vessel is most likely there and regaining control of his ship. Tell him Tull sent you. He owes me a favor. Wynn's brow furrowed and her lips parted in shock. Sir, Wreck tried, confusion overtaking fear. The lift doors slid open with a hiss. Stop wasting time, Lieutenant Tull ordered. You have 5 minutes. The officer shoved them both into the lift, expression unwavering as he said, Farewell, TK-973. Such a shame about your escape and defection. You were always such a promising stormtrooper with exemplary marks in hand-to-hand combat, and I simply could not fight both you and the Twi'lek prisoner off. The lift doors shut on Lieutenant Tull's smirk, and Wreck slammed the controls for Hangar 2. Did that imp just save us? Wynn asked, looking aghast at the implication. Wreck laughed, punched out, and on the verge of hysterical. After putting away his personal data pad, Callus cracked his neck and stretched, yawning wide while he was still alone. He reached up over his head and his shoulders popped just as the stolen ship dropped out of hyperspace. Andor, we're here, Callus called. Cassian came out from where he'd been shaving. Thanks again for the pickup, Callus. I would have been stranded without you. You truly are a lifesaver. Callus read past the genuine gratitude and less genuine flattery. I'm not giving you the ship. Take it up with command if you want it that bad. Cassian rolled his eyes, but didn't press any further. They landed without any further excitement, though Callus did have to rein in his grin and thudding heart when he caught sight of Zeb coming to greet him, Sabine and Ezra right behind. Look who's popular, Cassian snorted, sauntering off the ramp. Callus didn't bother legitimizing him with a response. Everything go all right? Zeb asked, sliding up to Callus' side. Callus felt Zeb's searching gaze, body heating. He managed a simple smile. Perfectly. Zeb nodded emphatically, a pleased tilt to his mouth. Considering the kind of stunts Andor can pull, that's good to hear. The aforementioned Cassian made a vague noise of protest. Hey, Cassian, you catch up on Heart's Rebellion? Sabine asked with interest. Callus cringed internally. Don't spoil it, Cassian begged, hands held up by his head. I spent most of the time in hyperspace catching up on sleep. I didn't get around to the new chapters. Hurry up, Sabine demanded. The entire base is freaking out. 3 weeks of nothing and now 3 new chapters. Hollow novels can wait. Go report to command, Callus sighed. Lazily saluting, Cassian spun on his heel and departed. He shouted back at Sabine, Tell all the pilots to leave me alone until I've caught up. You know they can't keep their mouths shut. Sabine laughed, then turned her fervent expression onto Callus. What about you, Callus? Caught up? Callus considered lying, but he didn't strictly need to, so he answered, I am indeed. What do you think? Sabine asked eagerly. Are we seriously still talking about this Forsaken novel? Ezra complained. It's been weeks. Read it and you won't have to cry about feeling left out, Sabine dismissed. I do not feel left out, Ezra squawked. I just feel like it's a better use of my time. Ain't nothing wrong with giving it a chance. I like it, Zeb shrugged. Everyone slowly turned to Zeb. You've read it? Callus managed to ask, stomach feeling as if he were going breakneck speed on a pod racer. Yeah, while you were gone, I figured, you know, why not? Everyone else was and seemed to like it. Zeb scratched the back of his neck. I like Tull. Callus could feel heat spreading from his chest to his neck and ears. I see. Do you think Tull and Alec are going to hook up? Sabine asked. Callus wanted to run away. Well, kind of the nature of the story, ain't it? Zeb asked, oblivious to the way in which Callus was internally melting down like unstable fuel cells. It's a romance. They might just be friends, Wedge piped up, appearing with a crate in his hands. He handed the crate off to one of the engineers. A couple of the maintenance guys think that they're just going to become, like, brothers in arms. Are we reading the same Hollow novel? Sabine asked sarcastically. Yeah, I think they're just in denial, Wedge snorted. Tull totally wants to jump Alec's bones. Yes, exactly, Sabine pointed at Wedge. It's all there from the beginning. You think? Zeb mused, as they made their way towards the ghost. Though they were still some distance away, they were close enough that Callus could make out Hera's and Kanan's forms. He willed their group to make it there faster. Totally, Wedge nodded firmly. Since it's just from Rex's perspective, it isn't that obvious, but the groundwork is laid, Sabine added. Tull is this haughty, stiff, by-the-books ice imp, you know? But for some reason, he hadn't brought Alec in for his smuggling. And whenever Alec gets mentioned, Tull, like, perks up. And we know Alec got arrested and his ship confiscated, but we also know a different officer brought him in, and that Tull knows he escaped. So, either Tull helped set up Alec's escape, or Tull has that much faith in Alec's abilities. Either way, totally going to fall in love. Couldn't have put it better myself, Wedge approved. It does make sense, Zeb mused thoughtfully, stroking his beard. Hera, Kanan, Callus called out, relief spreading through him. And Chopper, too. The three all greeted Callus in their own ways, asking after his retrieval of Cassian. Chopper used some colorful language. And they thankfully dropped the conversation around Hart's Rebellion. Alone in his room, Callus stared at his personal datapad and the unfinished chapter. He considered scrapping the whole thing, abandoning his work. It was already talked about so often on base. And it was undeniably mortifying to have the others discussing his work, discussing the character he'd loosely based on himself. But writing had been such a wonderful change in his life. He had come so far from the Academy boy sneaking holo novels, learning encryption and various techniques to remote access the holonet, simply to give himself the opportunity to read such stories without anyone discovering his interest. And he knew what he wanted to do with this story, with the characters he'd grown attached to. Taking a deep breath, and feeling grateful for making Alec Zygarian and not Lasat, as had been his first choice, Callus set about the next installment of his work. Chapter Endnotes. Zeb. Have to say, my favorite character is the arrogant but efficient Imperial who begins siding with the Rebels. Hera, deadpan. I am shocked. Now you live through the Chapter 3. Tull stared up at Alec's face, memorizing his features. He was tall, broad, strong, kind, clever. All things Tull admired. And he was not for Tull. Not after all the things Tull had done, thinking he was upholding peace and order. He had truly believed in the Empire, in what he fought for. Even when his conscience twinged, when the orders felt cruel and harsh and wrong, Tull still obeyed because he wanted to bring safety and security to the galaxy. Selfishly, he also wanted to ensure he wasn't one of those deemed a failure, those executed for substandard performance, for ineptitude. That the Empire hardly rewarded loyalty, but always punished any actions deemed below standard, should have been enough to get him to defect years ago, to reveal the true colors of the Empire to him. Much to his shame, it wasn't. He would never be worthy of the Zygarian with the piercing yellow eyes, rich brown fur struck through with deep black spots and lighter stripes the silvery blue of moonlight, and scars that spoke of pain and loss and bravery. There were too many years of his life dedicated to service for the Empire, and too much blood on Tull's hands for redemption. It was too late now. But Tull could still do some good. "You need to leave," Tull told him, finally ripping his eyes away from Alec and pushing him towards an escape pod. "Take this with you." Alec accepted the data chip, his large, warm hand brushing over Tull's own. "What am I supposed to do with this?" "It's what you came for, isn't it? Information that might help in your fight against the Empire," Tull told him, stepping into the pod to input a few commands. The ship took another hit. Outside the pod, sparks flew and warning alarms blared. The Star Destroyer was formidable, but the rebels were brave, creative, and fighting for a righteous cause. Tull didn't doubt that this ship would soon be nothing more than space dust and debris. It felt like years ago when he warned his superiors about their tactical weaknesses, at the vulnerabilities in their security. But they hadn't listened, hadn't cared. Because, Tull now knew, they were all replaceable. From the greenest of trooper recruits, to the most seasoned soldiers, to governors, directors, and moffs. They were merely parts of the Empire, same as a cog, screw, blaster, or spanner. Just tools. Tull was tired of being used. He was tired of upholding the wrong side. "Come with me," Alec said, breaking through Tull's musings. Tull looked up from the controls. Shock bled through, his ironclad composure breaking. Just a little. Just for Alec. Alec's lips twisted in a hesitant smile. "You've got information too, don't you? You know things. And you're a fighter. Just ask my bruises from that fight on the mining crawler. Come with me." Taking Tull's wrist, Alec pulled him a half step closer. The pod wasn't large, but it was big enough they needn't have stood so close. Nearly close enough to feel the way Alec's breaths raised his chest up and down. Nearly close enough to kiss. "Come on, Lieutenant," Alec smirked, bowing his head so he could look directly into Tull's eyes. A single sharp fang peeked from beneath his crooked smile. Tull's heart raced, his stomach tightening with anticipation and want. "Better with me than on this busted ship, don't you think?" Alec whispered, voice rough and rasping. Outside, boots thundered. "Find Tull and the Zygarian," another officer shouted, words clipped and breathless. "Kill them both on sight. I want the non-human rebel scum and that filthy traitor dead." Alec's fingers twitched over Tull's wrist. Tull wondered if he could feel the racing of his pulse. "Much better," Tull admitted. He knew what he needed to do. Alec began smiling, but his expression fell in disbelief as Tull pushed him away. Rushing to the escape pod opening, Tull pulled out his blaster and began firing to buy Alec as much time and safety as he could. Slamming in the commands, Tull had just enough time to look at Alec once more and say, "Thank you, Alec, and I'm sorry." "Tull, wait!" The pod sealed and jettisoned into space. Alec would be picked up by his rebel allies. Alec would be safe. The ship shook with a fresh blast from the rebel fighters. A chain of explosions sounded, painfully loud and ominously final. Tull closed his eyes and imagined Alec's face, the last image held dear in his mind before the blackness took him. "I'm telling you, he made it," Hera declared. "How could he make it? The entire destroyer was blown up," Kanan asked. Sabine sided with Hera. "I don't know, but I bet you 10 credits next update Tull survives. Why start having chapters from Tull's perspective just to kill him off immediately after?" Kallus wanted to pull out his hair. Beside him, Zeb sniffed. "Are you crying?" Kallus asked, body stiff with disbelief and shock. "He could have made it," Zeb roared. "If he'd just pulled his head out of his..." "Do not start crying again," Ezra groaned, throwing himself onto the table in despair. "You kept me up half the night with your sniffling." "It was very sad, all right?" Zeb wailed. "He's my favorite character, isn't he? And he doesn't think he's worth saving or loving, even with Alex Love staring him right in the face." Hera patted Zeb's shoulder. "There, there. I'm sure he's alive." "He better be, or I'm tracking down the author and giving them a lesson in playing with Alassat's feelings," Zeb threatened. Kallus was having too much difficulty processing Zeb's previous statement to really feel any type of way about the threat, though it did vaguely register. "Funny you should mention that," Sabine brought up, propping her chin up on her hand. "You know there's a whole group of people back on base trying to figure out who the author is in their spare time?" "I was not aware of that," Kallus mentioned, proud of himself for the almost disinterested tone he managed. "Yeah, but whoever it is knows how to stay anonymous," Sabine snorted. "One of the intelligence guys got further than anyone, but apparently he only managed to discover that the updates are all uploaded to the HoloNet from public terminals in busy transport stations on multiple planets using some kind of proxy transmitter." "Meaning?" Ezra yawned, unimpressed. "Meaning they just have to be on the same planet as the public terminals to access them," Hera informed him. "They'd never be seen near them." "That's pretty good," Ezra allowed. "How come we can't do stuff like that for rebellion messages?" "We already do," Kanan pointed out. "What? No, we don't," Ezra countered. "We do, for secret communications and even rebel propaganda," Sabine told him with a roll of her eyes. "How do you not know this?" "There's no way. What kind of propaganda?" "The usual join the rebellion, fight the empire kind, posters and catchphrases, maybe even a treatise or two. We've got an entire department of volunteer writers and artists working on it when they have time off from their official missions." Hera crossed her arms and leaned back. "Most of it gets scrubbed by the Empire pretty fast, but we always get another poster or call to action out." Ezra made a face. "Then why haven't they scrubbed Heart's Rebellion? It's an entire story about defecting from the Empire and sympathizing with the rebels." "They have, many times," Sabine drawled. "As soon as an update comes on the HoloNet, we all download it to our devices before it can be taken down. Fans have been re-uploading it under different names and to different holosites and manually sharing it between datapads." This wasn't news to Kallus, but it continued to have him feeling both grateful and a little awkward. "Wait, so if this author is completely, untraceably anonymous, that means they aren't getting paid, right?" Ezra asked. "Because you can usually track credit transfers with the right stuff." "Heart's Rebellion was uploaded to a holosite that archives writing for free perusal and community sharing," Hera told him with a shrug. "It's for people who write as a hobby rather than professionally." Ezra's lips curled like this was the dumbest thing he'd ever heard. "So all these people are reading their stuff for free?" "Not everything is done for material profit," Kallus sniffed, offended. Sabine hummed her agreement. "And costing the low, low price of nothing has probably only helped Heart's Rebellion get more popular. Everyone can access it with a quick command into their nearest HoloNet-enabled device." "Oi, Kallus," Zeb interrupted, voice still nasally. "You know about Star Destroyers." "I have a passing familiarity with them, yes," Kallus informed him primly, smirking when Zeb rolled his eyes. "Great. So tell me exactly how Tull might have made it out." Kallus sighed. Author's endnotes. Kallus watching a space moth fly out of his credit pouch. Bridger may have had a point. Chapter 4. What does he mean? Rec asked, voice weak. Wynn, please. Wynn didn't meet his eyes, but her words came out strong and unapologetic. I told you I wasn't just a sympathizer, Rec. You knew that when you escaped with me. Yeah, but I... Rec ran his hands through his hair. It was getting long, well past regulation length. Is it true? Is what true? Wynn looked genuinely confused, her brow and mouth twisted. It settled Rec for a moment more. Rec swallowed. That you were part of a ploy to get troopers to defect. Wynn's eyes met his, but instead of offense or anger, there was a trace of something that almost seemed like guilt. A chill crept into Rec's fingertips, numbness spreading to his palms. Oh, he whispered. He took a step away from her. I get it. What? Rec, whatever you're thinking, that's not the case, Wynn tried, following after him. He stepped even further back, a hand held out to warn her away. I get it, Wynn. Getting to know me, it was all for your mission, right? To get me to defect, to get me to talk to the other troopers, to sow the seeds of dissent. At first, Wynn stressed, eyes creasing and lips wobbling. Just at first. That was the mission. I won't deny it or apologize. But no matter how it started, everything else that followed was real. None of the rest of it was part of my mission, okay? You don't... Rec pushed down a sob. You don't have to lie to me, Wynn. I'm not going to turn my back on the rebellion. However you got me here, I'm here. I believe in the cause. I understand what's right. And it's all thanks to you and your mission. But you don't have to pretend to care about me anymore. I won't hold it against you. Pretend? Wynn nearly hissed out the word. Rec, whatever he might have said, you know me. You know I'm not like that. How could you even think that I'd take advantage of you like that? And after we... She broke off with a swear, shaking her head. Listen, he's just trying to get under your skin. That's what he does. He's important to the rebellion, and I've known him for years, but that doesn't mean he isn't full of bantha shit more times than not. Rec took a few more hesitant steps back, shaking his head. It's okay, Wynn. It is. I'm not mad. I knew you were too good for me. I knew what you did was bigger than me. I know I don't matter as much as... Firm hands clasped Rec by the face, Wynn entering his space with a ferocious expression. You matter, Rec. A single tear slipped from the corner of his eye. Wynn tenderly wiped the tear away with a swipe of her thumb. Rec, how can you not know? How have I not shown you? You're everything to me. The rebellion is my cause. I will give my life to it if I have to. But I'm not trying to be a martyr. I want to survive this war. I want to see the Empire fall, and I want to hold your hand while it does and kiss you over the ashes. And when we've won, because we will, I want to take that freedom and build a life with you. Do you believe me? Rec stared into her eyes, taking in the emotion that shone out from them. Rec, she murmured, lips so close to his, hands kept so sweet and affectionate and just on the edge of desperate against the sides of his face. Do you believe me? Slowly, hesitantly, hopefully, his eyes filling with tears, Rec nodded. Wynn beamed, real and unguarded. Other things mattered, of course they did. But to Rec, Wynn was everything. Callus rubbed his hair dry, exiting the refresher. As far as hideouts went for their various missions, this was one of the better accommodations. Even if the crew of the Ghost and Callus had to share the entire suite, and Callus did end up last in line to shower. Feeling better? Zeb asked with a smirk, eyes leaving his sabacc guards to instead follow Callus as he crossed the room to deposit the damp towel in a designated receptacle. Much, Callus bit out unhappily. Was the escape through the garbage chute truly necessary? It truly was, Zeb simpered, unless you wanted to end up full of blaster holes. You do have a point. I suppose I ought to be glad it wasn't the garbage chute in a Star Destroyer, at least, Callus grumbled. Aren't garbage chutes just garbage suits? Zeb inquired, as he and the others playing tossed in a round of low-credit bets. They stink, they ooze, and garbage gets chucked out when they're full and provides some charismatic rebels with a proper escape route. Sabine and Callus both snorted. "You want to tell him about the oddly timed compression schedule?" Sabine asked. "I'd rather discuss the menagerie of carnivorous creatures who somehow continue to live in the waste fluid despite frequent compression and evacuation." Hera paused, eyes flitting between Sabine and Callus. "You're joking." "Do I seem like the joking type?" Callus inquired dryly. "He's a real riot. Don't let the face fool you," Zeb told the others. He then laid out his cards, causing Hera and Ezra to groan. On the floor, legs positioned in a pose made for meditation, Kanan hid his smile. "How are you still winning?" Ezra demanded, as he slapped a hand to the table, shaking the credits that Zeb raked toward himself. "You're not this good at cards, Zeb." "Skill and talent, kid. Skill and talent," Zeb answered, tone oily. "You'll get it when you're older. Then again, maybe not." Callus ducked his head, obscuring his own smile. "You and Hera are sitting in front of a very reflective decorative vase," Sabine informed them casually, from where she sat on one of the beds. Slowly turning to look at the vase, Hera arched an accusatory eyebrow. "Is that so?" Ezra let out a choked sputter. You give me back my credits!" Zeb cackled and shot up from his seat, evading Ezra's swiping hands even as he stuffed his ill-gotten gains into his jumpsuit pockets. "Hey, you never said I couldn't use my eyes, kid. You didn't have to sit there. Tactical advantage and all that." Callus watched Zeb fondly, heart aching in an almost pleasant way now that he'd gotten more used to such feelings happening to him. A beep sounded from Sabine's direction. "New update," she shouted, reaching into one of her many pockets. She drew out a holocaster and immediately set to downloading the latest holonovel chapters directly to the device. "Chop, you download it too. We need a backup before the Empire tracks and censors it." Chopper let out an unusually agreeable series of beeps. "Thanks, Chop." Sabine turned an eager smile around the room. "Should we all read it together?" Hera, Kanan, and Zeb all made noises of assent, and Callus felt his body shifting into fight or flight. "No," Ezra complained. "Please, I do not need any more of this holonovel. It's going to be bad enough back at base when it's all everyone can talk about." "Ezra," Sabine wheedled. "Come on, we all want to read it." "It'd be nice to read it right away and avoid any spoilers," Hera mentioned with a hopeful smile. "Where's the harm?" Kanan agreed. "Blech," Ezra answered. "I'm so sick of you guys." "Perhaps it would be more fair to Ezra to hold off," Callus suggested carefully, each word slowly spoken. "As he isn't a fan of the work, it'd be discourteous to read it together while he's forced to share quarters and has nothing else to distract himself." Zeb made an offended noise while Sabine frowned, and Hera and Kanan both nodded agreeably, if a bit resigned. "Okay, why is Callus the only one on my side here?" Ezra demanded. "Don't question it too much, Jabba," Callus shot back, "unless you'd rather be forced to read this novel you seem so against." Ezra raised his hands. "Not questioning it, really not questioning it." "Ugh, fine," Sabine caved, sharing a mutinous look with Zeb. "But we're reading it on board when Rex gets back with the ghost and you can't stop us." "Deal," Ezra jumped to agree. Soon enough, third meal was eaten, and everyone was too tired to do much more than find their places to sleep and get some much-needed rest. Callus carried a spare blanket towards an empty-looking corner, only to be stopped by a warm hand around his elbow. "Where do you think you're going?" Zeb asked. "To sleep?" Callus didn't sound as certain as he wished to sound as he vaguely gestured towards the corner of the suite. "With just a blanket?" Zeb's lips curled in disapproval. "Come on." Callus allowed Zeb to lead him towards one of the other corners, a bed mat already laid out on the floor. "You can share with me," Zeb explained, pulling Callus down to the ground. Callus tried to protest, but the words lodged in his throat, unable to come out. "Whatever you're gonna say, I'm not listening," Zeb informed him. "We've been running all over, we've completed our mission, we've got a bit before Rex can take us home. We earned some rest that ain't on a bare floor." And, just like that, Zeb had Callus stretched out on the bed mat beside him, blanket thrown over them both, a soft pillow from one of the couches shared under their heads. Callus wondered if he was dreaming or hallucinating. Maybe one of the blaster shots had actually succeeded in hitting him, and this was a near-death-induced hallucination, his brain giving him something sweet to take with him to his grave. From one of the two beds, Hera commanded the lights to dim. "Sleep," Zeb grunted, turning Callus over on his side so Zeb could spoon up behind him. Perhaps Callus should write a bed-sharing scene for Tull and Alec. The reality of it was certainly emotionally raw enough for Callus. It was both everything he wanted and everything that terrified him. He wanted to scoot closer and press himself against Zeb's chest. He also wanted to roll away and reclaim that empty bit of floor, certain he was going to reveal too much, that Zeb's superior senses would pick up on what Callus tried so hard to conceal. It was blissful. It was nerve-wracking. Despite Callus's worries, the warm, steady presence of Zeb at his back and the large hand displayed over his stomach lulled him into a doze, the shock and surprise at such a pleasant end to his day cutting through the fear that their close proximity would give Callus's feelings away. Half awake and barely aware, Callus distantly heard smug beeps and warbles cut through the dark. "Shut it, Chop," Zeb growled from behind Callus. Shifting his body closer to the rumbling source of the growl, Callus fell into a deep sleep. Author's endnotes. Callus, about to watch as the ghost crew reads his romance novel. "I need to leave immediately." Callus being manhandled into sleeping position by Zeb. On the other hand... Chapter 5. Tull and Rec sat in a silence that was not entirely comfortable, but lacked the kind of tension either expected. Tull could feel the observations of the others around them. The two of them were the only former Imperials among the rebels, and they were surrounded by those who rightfully distrusted, perhaps even despised them. "How was Wynn?" Tull asked stiffly. Rec's brow furrowed. "Fine. How's Alec?" Tull's lips pressed tight. "Fine." They stared at each other before immediately standing and walking away, their shoulders more relaxed, though the difference was nearly imperceptible. "That wasn't awkward at all," Wynn teased, returning from her meeting and immediately hooking her arm with Rex. "Seems like you two are getting along better, though." "I still think he wants to punch me," Rex confessed. "If he does, he can answer to me," Wynn offered easily. Beaming at the love of his life, Rex still protested. "I don't need you fighting my battles for me." "Who said anything about a battle?" she snorted. "I'd just be punching a guy with a stick the size of a communications array antenna shoved all the way up his... Wynn! Oh, like you weren't thinking it." Tull ignored the loud laughter of the former stormtrooper once under his command and the rebel who made his job quite difficult in the past. "That was weird," Alec pointed out, appearing from nowhere, as he was wont to do. Tull gave no indication that the smuggler had startled him, too used to Alec's proclivity for stealth. "It was not weird," he bit out, lying to Alec's face. Alec smiled, fangs bared. "Even you aren't buying that lie." Warmed by the thought that Alec knew him so well, Tull clicked his tongue dismissively to maintain appearances. "Believe what you want. I hear they're looking for defectors to make a team. Some hush-hush mission. Think you two will be chosen?" Alec questioned, throwing an arm over Tull's shoulders. Relishing in the comforting weight of Alec's muscular arm, Tull scoffed. "Not if they want me to come back alive. I'm quite certain Rex still wants me dead." "Yeah, well, he has to get in line. I get first dibs, and then there's a waitlist after me." Tull turned his head, trying not to blush as Alec's soft fur brushed across his neck and cheek. "As if there'd be anything left of me once you were done." Alec grinned, lopsided and goofy, the kind of smile that was one of Tull's frequent rewards for playing along with the Zagarian's tangents and jokes and teasing. Tull smiled back helplessly. Something shifted in Alec's eyes. He tightened his grip on Tull and whispered in his ear, too right, you know I'd eat you up and refuse to share. Ignoring the heat in his ears and willing Alec to remain ignorant of the effect he had on him, Tull merely hummed, not trusting his voice with a response. Alec laughed at him nonetheless, bright and unfettered. Longing pulled in Tull's heart, painful and yet the most beautiful thing he'd ever had the honor to feel. Enjoying the sunlight and warmth, Callus sat on a comfortably flat stone, tinkering with a mouse droid Zeb had brought him from the Ghost's latest mission. The Ghost's crew chatted, waiting patiently for their upcoming brief. Command was busy with a few closed-door meetings, and there was no knowing when the Ghost's crew would be needed. Callus had just recently returned from an extraction and was not due to report for duty for another day or so. It was a rare chance at relaxation for all of them. "Seems like Heart's Rebellion is winding down," Sabine sighed. "Nope," Ezra declared at once. He stalked off to the opposite end of the clearing, taking out his lightsaber to practice forms. "Nothing gets Ezra training like mentioning Heart's Rebellion," Kanan huffed, though there was plenty of affection underlying the exasperation. Sabine squinted against the sun, watching Ezra practice with a discerning eye. "It's going to be such a bummer when the last update comes." Callus felt a little melancholy himself, though still excited to write and edit the final chapters. When he next got off planet, he would upload the conclusion and the story would be complete. He hoped the rebels would find it satisfying. "Rumor has it defection has gone up over 20% since it was first uploaded," Hera laughed. "And rebellion recruitment and sympathizing has definitely increased. Guess we owe the author for even more than just a fun couple of hours every few weeks." Callus bowed his head over the mouse droid, quietly pleased. "You think Tull and Alec will get a happy ending?" Zeb asked. "I think so," Kanan hummed. "Doesn't seem to be going the way of a tragic romance." "They're not together like Wreck and Wynn were pretty much from the start, though," Zeb argued sulkily. Callus refrained from smiling, only just managing it. "Different kinds of romance," Sabine shrugged. "Wynn and Wreck were like love at first sight, you know? From the second they meet, obviously it's going to work out." "I like the will they, won't they Tull and Alec have," Hera mused. "Lots of tension and unresolved feelings." In the background, Ezra froze sheepishly as he cut through a tree. It fell with a thunderous noise. "Guess I better do something about that," Kanan groaned, heading off to mentor his young and destructive Padawan. "Tull needs to stop overthinking everything," Sabine continued lazily. "Then they can finally talk like adults and get together. If Alec stops acting like a teen long enough for them to communicate," Hera snorted. "Every time it seems like we'll get a confession, he just makes a joke." Callus felt the urge to defend his character, but pushed it down like he always did. "Hey, you've never said who your favorite was," Zeb brought up. Feeling the full focus of several pairs of eyes, Callus slowly looked up from the mouse droid. He stalled. "Haven't I?" "Zeb's right," Sabine backed up. "I thought you'd have stronger opinions after that first time we talked about it." Callus hesitated. He didn't really have favorites. They were all important to him and the story. Some were easier to write than others. Tull, for example, who was simply a kinder, gentler, marginally less intelligent, and marginally less combative version of Callus himself. Some were more fun to write, like Wynn, who got to say whatever she felt in a bold and brash way that Callus was almost envious of. Then again, one character in particular was loosely based on Zeb. "Alec's my favorite," Callus admitted, using brute force to adjust a bent piece of paneling on the mouse droid's case. "Alec?" Zeb made a face. Hera and Sabine shared a look, but Callus was too busy being offended to parse the meaning. "What's wrong with Alec?" Callus demanded, fully setting the mouse droid aside. Zeb rolled his eyes. "He's fine, I guess." "I thought you liked Alec," Callus pointed out fiercely. "I like Alec and Tull's story," Zeb said grumpily. "Alec's a little..." He trailed off and shrugged, and Callus sat up straight, shoulders back as he prepared for battle. "A little what, Garazeb Aurelius?" Callus hissed. He's a dumbass, Zeb said bluntly. Hera snorted, while Sabine outright cackled. A dumbass, Callus growled. The audacity. Alec is forthright, and he occasionally employs a unique sense of humor that does not make him a dumbass, and he uses the perception of others to his advantage. While others underestimate him, he is exceedingly resourceful and uncommonly clever. He's at least as smart as Tull. Smarter, I should say. Smarter than Tull? Zeb scoffed. In what galaxy? This one, Callus half-yelled. Alec is good and kind and clever and honorable. He's a smuggler, Zeb argued. So what? Callus dismissed with a wave of his hand. A bit of anti-establishmentarianism never hurt anyone. Wow, Sabine whistled. Sounds like someone's got a crush. Callus froze, belatedly realizing that he had risen to his feet. Zeb had as well, and they were face to face, squaring off about the merits of a fictional character Callus had written and based off the Lasat. Callus swallowed. Then he narrowed his eyes, doubling down. I am merely defending a character I value quite highly from the outrageous accusations of the Tasteless. Tasteless? Zeb roared. Tull is your favorite character, Callus disparaged. Tull, who was a minor antagonist at the beginning. Zeb put his hands on his hips and rumbled, What's wrong with that? He's got a good heart, and he gets a redemption story that proves it. Do you think they realize? Hera whispered to Sabine. I wish they did, Sabine wheezed. Unbelievable. Tull's got a good heart, but Alec is a dumbass, he says. Astounding, Callus complained, starting to pace. Are we even discussing the same holonovel, Garazeb? Maybe you're the one with the wrong opinions. You ever think of that, eh? Zeb blustered. Callus raised his lip in a silent snarl. Now, boys, Hera interrupted, looking far too amused. Her bright eyes danced as she looked between Callus and Zeb, the two of them still engaged in a standoff. While I applaud the passion, let's not forget this is a holonovel we're talking about, and you can both be right. Callus and Zeb rounded on her, incredulity clear in both their expressions. Alec is a little oblivious sometimes, and Tull is a bit of a bastard, Hera continued with a wry smirk. But all the good things you two listed are there too. We can have different favorite characters, Sabine told them, with faux solemnity that radiated condescension. Deflating, Callus sat back down and avoided Zeb's gaze, a bit embarrassed by his outburst. He could feel those bright green eyes burning into the side of his face, but he managed not to cave in and look. Where was all this the last few months? Hera then asked Callus, lips still faintly smirking. I thought you were one of the more casual readers, but that was quite the impassioned defense. Yeah, Zeb grumbled. Callus lost the fight with himself, turning to look at Zeb in surprise at the petulant tone. We could have been talking about it this whole time. It would have been fun. Feeling a tad guilty, but also endeared as ever to Zeb, Callus let himself smile as he dodged the question. I think you lot had the conversation well in hand. Zeb harumphed, but returned the smile with one of his own. Well, while we've got you talking, Sabine drawled, what do you think of the author's description of the Empire? Zeb immediately jumped in ahead of Callus to complain. I think they could put in a few more details, give us a little help, describe some security weaknesses. Instead, the infiltration scenes and Tull's descriptions all sound pretty vague. The Empire has access to the holonovel as well, Callus reminded him. If the text gave more details, then the Empire would know what those weaknesses were, and they could reinforce or correct them. Hera's gaze sharpened. Funny you should mention that. You know, there's a theory that the author's Imperial. Or was. Callus kept his voice neutrally interested. Oh? That's why I wanted your opinion, Sabine continued, checking her glove-covered nails. You're ex-Imperial. As are you, Callus tried to distract. Yeah, Academy, Sabine snorted. But you were in deep. You know the ISB, the department meetings, what the officer quarters are like, what kind of rations are offered, how the officers organize squads and treat each other when there isn't a crisis, all the boring everyday stuff people don't really care about. stuff the Hollow novel seems to get pretty right if the chatter is any indication. Expression unyielding, Callus shrugged. Yes, I'd say it all rang fairly true. Another check for the theory, then, Hera murmured, eyes knowing as she looked at Callus. Timing impeccable, Chopper came rolling over in a tizzy, manipulators flailing. I do believe you're being summoned, Callus noted, grateful as he stood to see them off. So it seems, Hera acknowledged as she got to her feet, patting Chopper. Kanan and Ezra noticed the not-so-subtle droid as well, coming over from where they'd been training. There were some lightsaber singe marks in the ground, but no more fallen trees. When we're done, we'll grab you for second meal, Zeb told him, squeezing Callus's shoulder. Leaning into the gesture, Callus nodded. Until then. I want your opinions on the depiction of the types of combat in the Hollow novel, Sabine shouted from over her shoulder. Zeb and I have been wanting to ask you about a few fights in particular. Yeah, Zeb cheered. We've got to go over the big ones, in detail. I'm sure you have plenty of thoughts, Hera added cheekily, waving farewell. Chopper made to follow the departing group when Callus stopped him and whispered, Did you tell General Syndulla? Chopper beeped in word. Well, I am quite certain she knows, Callus complained, or at least suspects, perhaps even Sabine as well. Chopper defended himself angrily, and Callus immediately made to assure the droid that Callus wasn't laying blame. No, I believe you. You haven't let me down yet. They're just that clever. Callus crossed his arms and sighed. Chopper burbled proudly. Yes, yes, Callus smiled. Shouldn't you be joining them? Letting out a dramatic shriek, Chopper rolled off, quickly catching up with the other members of the Ghost. Author's endnotes. Before. Chopper. I know it's you, and I have the transmission records to prove it. Callus. How much for your silence? Chopper. Advanced chapters for me and AP5. Callus. Deal. AP5. I'll never understand what they like about this sort of thing. Chopper. Fine, I'll read it by myself then. AP5. Let's not be hasty. Chapter 6. Leaning back against a tree trunk in a secluded area of base, Callus chewed his lip, stared at his datapad, and considered what ought to be the final lines of his Hollow novel. At one point, he toyed with the idea of killing Tull in a dramatic, self-sacrificing fashion. But he also recently overheard Sabine and Hera complaining about a different serialized Hollow novel that had garnered some popularity after Heart's Rebellion. Apparently, that novel introduced an antagonistic Imperial character not unlike Tull, had them undergo a change of heart, and then promptly killed them off while saving the ensemble of heroes. Sabine and Hera's words had been particularly cutting when they expressed their opinions about redemption arcs via character death. Callus was on the fence about the trope himself, he could admit. Furthermore, Callus selfishly wanted to give Tull a happy ending. There was no harm in letting his fictional counterpart have the kind of life Callus might never achieve himself, a vicarious bit of wish fulfillment. Once Callus finished the final action sequence, Tull and Alec's story was the last bit of plot thread that needed tying, and Callus wasn't sure what he ought to do. A big, melodramatic confession scene full of flowery words and saccharine sentimentality was out of the question. Both characters rebelled at the mere thought in Callus's mind. Neither of them possessed that kind of personality. They left such displays to the main couple, specifically Rek. Their more emotionally overwrought scenes tended to revolve around morality and coming to terms with the consequences of their actions and the power of choice. To make their confession scene too similar to the ways in which they navigated such somber topics felt not wrong exactly, but also not quite right. But he didn't want their resolution to be understated or stiff or outright comedic like some of their other scenes together happened to be. He wanted it to stand out from the almost confessions and near flirtations that made up much of their storyline together. He needed their final scene to feel substantive, but not as if he were forcing them together at the last possible moment. It was difficult. Callis sighed, pushing his hair out of his face. He wrote the beginning and middle of the story. He could write the ending as well. If Callis was anything, Tenacious was certainly it. He would see Heart's Rebellion through to the end, even if it killed him. Cracking his fingers, then his neck, Callis focused and started writing. Tull and Alec stood at the top of the hill, watching as fire and smoke rose up from the burning Imperial prison. The political prisoners, whose only crimes were criticizing the Emperor or being in the wrong place at the wrong time, fled in stolen ships and speeders, some joining up with the other members of the rebel team that had incited the prison break and explosion, others making their own way. With the Imperial prison's communications tower down, everyone would be long gone by the time the Empire figured out what had happened. "Now that's a damn pretty sight," Alec sighed, hands on his hips. Feeling a sense of satisfaction as the communications tower crumbled to nothing more than scorched debris, Tull smiled sharply. "Yes, I'm rather fond of it myself." Alec turned to face Tull, eyes shining. Tull smiled up at him, feeling freer than he had in some time. "Tull." Alec's smile gentled into something soft and hesitant. Tull's heart raced, his own grin falling. Though he felt that now familiar pang of vulnerable want he always felt when Alec paid him any kind of attention, he couldn't bring himself to look away. "You're happy, right?" Alec's serious expression was struck through with worry. "With what happened? Defecting, joining the rebellion. You're happy it happened?" "Happy." Tull trailed off with a short laugh. "An interesting word for it. We are in a war, you know." Alec's expression began falling, and Tull quickly clarified. "But yes, I wouldn't have it any other way, Alec. If it weren't for you, if you hadn't made me see what I blinded myself to, I would never have the chance at happiness. Now I do. And I am, I suppose, much of the time. Certainly more so than I can ever remember being since I was a child." Alec's disappointment eased, but his smile did not return. Tull fought with himself, with the risk that bearing his emotions posed. But in the end, if there was even the slightest chance he could make Alec smile, even for a moment, "I'm particularly happy when I'm with you," Tull confessed, voice raspy and low. Alec stood up straighter, mouth falling open. "Tull, you... I don't think I've ever met a being who makes me smile quite as much as you," Tull continued on while he was still brave enough to speak the words. "And who I want to make smile. So thank you for that." His voice went stiff and awkward, and he cursed himself, his inability to express what he was feeling, what Alec meant to him. "You don't have to thank me," Alec said at once, shaking his head, shaking his whole body as if he needed to deny it with his entire self. "I do, though," Tull corrected. "You're the best person I've ever known, Alec, and I mean that." Alec's jaw dropped open once again, the Zagarian still at a loss for words. "Tull, ugh." Biting out his frustration, Alec grabbed Tull by the shoulders and yanked him in, nuzzling at the side of his face in a tender, affectionate gesture that had Tull's entire body heating. "Alec?" Tull asked creakily. "You're infuriating," Alec murmured into the crook of Tull's neck. "And particular, and annoyingly stubborn. And you've just said the most romantic thing I've ever heard while an Imperial prison smolders to ruin behind us." "I'm sorry?" Tull tried, still trying to get his body and mind to respond to any sort of rational signal. So far, all he had managed to do was grab at Alec's vest and hang on for dear life. Something he rather enjoyed, but also something that showed just how much he'd come to care for the smuggler. "Don't be," Alec growled. "It's criffing perfect." Alec pulled away, which Tull didn't particularly enjoy, but then he leaned back in and placed a careful human kiss to Tull's lips. Tull gasped, an involuntary noise he quickly stifled. "I never thought much of human shows of affection," Alec mused, eyes boring into Tull's. But if they get noises like that out of you... Alec pulled him into another embrace, warm and strong and all-encompassing. Tull felt as if his heart was about to escape. Perhaps the poets had been right about this particular emotion. Tull laughed, joy burbling up. I love you. Face pressed into Tull's hair, Alec whispered, I know. Alec slowly lowered his mouth down to Tull's ear, fangs nipping at the shell of it. I love you too. Callus. Zeb's voice interrupted Callus's flow, forcing him out of the world of Heart's Rebellion. There you are. Been looking everywhere for you. Zeb? Callus nearly winced at the shock in his voice. Sorry, didn't mean to startle you, Zeb offered, scratching the back of his neck. He eyed the datapad in Callus's hand. Usually a lot harder to get the drop on you. What you working on? Callus cleared his throat and aimed for casual. Nothing, it's just... a project. Zeb's ears flattened and his eyes narrowed in suspicion. What kind of project? A secret kind, Callus sniffed, laying in on his clipped accent. What can I do for you, Zeb? Zeb continued eyeing him with a friendly kind of wariness. Nothing serious. Just had a few hours free and figured I'd come see what you were up to. Been a while since we've hung out, just you and me. Callus melted at that. Smiling up at Zeb, Callus nodded. Sounds like a worthwhile use of my time. I've already finished what they needed me for today. Then what's with the super secret project? Zeb hummed, waving a hand at the datapad. Callus clutched it closer. It's a personal project. Personal project? Zeb's suspicion gave way to delighted interest. You finally listened to me and picked up a hobby that wasn't fighting or fixing droids. I have more hobbies than that, Callus argued, rising to his feet and moving ever so slightly away from Zeb so his curious eyes couldn't catch sight of what he'd been writing. Espionage and intelligence work is work, not a hobby, Zeb sighed, repeating their old argument. What kind of project is it? Nothing really interesting, Callus tried to deflect. What did you want to do? I was thinking we play a game of cards, maybe bring some food up to that spot we like for lunch. But now I'm thinking you tell me all about this special project of yours. Zeb grinned so wide and genuine that Callus couldn't even bring himself to get defensive or snippy. I don't think I should tell you, Callus finally admitted, hiding the datapad behind his back. Zeb's ears lowered and his grin dropped, and Callus felt like a monster. Well, Criff, why not? As I said, it's a secret. And no one else knows, Zeb asked, now interested in this aspect, though he stopped pressing about the Holo novel itself. Chopper discovered it, Callus admitted, and I fear Hera and Sabine may suspect, though I've never told them. Wow, that is pretty secret, Zeb mumbled, scratching at his chin. That all? That is all, Callus admitted. Zeb leveled a persuasive smile his way. It was very persuasive, and Callus could feel his resolve crumbling. And you're sure I can't know? Sucking in a deep breath, Callus confessed, I think you'll be disappointed if you know. Waving him off, Zeb scoffed good-naturedly. Ah, come on, I won't pry if you really don't want me knowing, but I'm hardly going to be disappointed. You don't know that, Callus muttered darkly. Unless you're actually a triple agent or some nonsense like that, we're fine, Zeb dismissed easily. And the thing was, Callus suddenly wanted to tell Zeb. Zeb was his best friend. He didn't hold any presumptuous opinions about being nearly as important to Zeb as Zeb was to him, but that didn't change the fact that in all the galaxy, Callus preferred Zeb to everyone else. And Zeb cared about Tull and Alec's story, wrong though his thoughts about Alec may have been. Callus was overcome with the desire to have Zeb be the first person to read the ending, to see what happened to Tull and Alec. Callus hesitated for another moment more before caving into his desire. You must swear not to tell anyone else, not even Kanan. If Hera knows, Kanan probably knows, Zeb pointed out apologetically. I assumed as much, but it's the principle of the thing, Callus acknowledged. Zeb promised, on my honor. That was more than enough for Callus. Handing over the data pad, Kallus allowed his fears to speak for him. "Remember, I warned you might be disappointed." Zeb stuck out his tongue and blew a rude noise, attention fixed on the data pad. "Charming," Kallus muttered dryly, though he was mostly being honest. Eyes growing wide, Zeb asked, "Was there an update today? Sabine usually tells us." "There wasn't an update," Kallus said carefully. Zeb's gaze darted between Kallus and the data pad. His brow furrowed in confusion. Kallus once more found himself chewing on his lip, nerves getting the better of him. "No," Zeb whispered, voice rounded with shock. "You're joking." "I am not," Kallus corrected stiltedly. "This whole time, you've been the author?" Zeb asked, still looking between the datapad and Kallus. "You write Heart's Rebellion?" Kallus swallowed. "Every word." "You're joking," Zeb shouted, jumping up and down. "I am completely serious." Zeb's grin was at once big and bright. "You old romantic." Kallus feigned indifference, dusting a non-existent speck from his shoulder. "Wait, is this the last chapter ever?" Zeb ogled the datapad with a covetous desire. "The very last," Kallus confirmed. "I want you to read it and tell me what you think." "You do?" Zeb's grin was back and blinding. "I do," Kallus nodded, not meeting Zeb's eyes. "It does still need to be edited and proofread, but it's essentially done. I'd like your opinion on it." Zeb dropped to the ground with an open glee that brought a smile to Kallus's face. He read voraciously, expression rapt, while Kallus hovered awkwardly, torn between being immensely pleased and immensely terrified. After a few moments, Zeb glanced up and frowned. Worry that something was wrong with his writing struck through Kallus, assuaged the second Zeb said, "What are you doing standing there?" He then pat the forest floor beside him, offer clear, and went back to reading. Kallus hesitated, but Zeb mumbled, "If you don't sit down, I'll go over there, grab you up, and make you sit. And I just got to the Imperial prison break, so I'll be real annoyed about being interrupted, which means I won't be all that gentle." Huffing at the threat, Kallus closed the space between them and sat beside Zeb. Zeb smirked, smug as could be, though his gaze didn't stray from the words. Kallus thought about looking over into Zeb's hands and reading the Holo novel alongside him, but he quickly decided that'd be entirely too anxiety-inducing. Instead, Kallus made himself be still and quiet and patient, basking in Zeb's company and the tranquil noises from the jungle and the slight tap of Zeb's claws on the datapad as he read on. Kallus closed his eyes, falling into a restful, not quite sleep, not quite meditation. A sniffle broke through the calm sounds around them. Kallus's eyes snapped open. "Are you crying?" Kallus asked, as aghast as he was the first time Zeb cried in front of him over the Holo novel. "Again?" "It's really beautiful," Zeb defended, rubbing at his eyes with the back of his hand. "They're gonna be so happy together." "Yes, Zeb, it's a romance," Kallus huffed, amused and fond and at a loss for what else to say. "I liked it a lot," Zeb informed him, still sniffling, but not as noticeably. "Yes." Kallus could barely repress his smile, try though he might. "I don't know how else to tell you. It's really good." Zeb nodded, voice a bit thick as he passed Kallus his datapad back. "Perfect ending." Kallus couldn't help it. He accepted the datapad and grinned uninhibited, happiness on full display. "I'm very glad to hear that, Zeb. Thank you. Your opinion means more to me than I could ever say." Looking up from the Holo novel he put so much of his free time into, Kallus was surprised to see Zeb staring at him, jaw slack. Assuming this was Zeb's continued unexpected response to the Holo novel's ending, Kallus kept grinning as he chuckled, "Zeb, I love you." Kallus froze. "Carabast," Zeb swore, rising from where he sat and making to run away. "Why'd I say that? I shouldn't have said anything." "No!" Kallus shouted, tossing his datapad aside before springing up and tackling Zeb before he got too far. "You—" As they both hit the ground, Zeb rolled them to cushion the fall, cradling the back of Kallus's head with one protective hand, firmly grasping Callus's hip with the other. They rolled an extra rotation, carried by the momentum of Callus's tackle and their combined size. Callus ended up on top, staring through the fall of his hair at Zeb. Zeb winced as if bracing for a strike. "I love you too," Callus rushed out. Zeb's green eyes snapped open. "You what?" "I love you too," Callus reiterated at once, fingers digging into the ground on either side of Zeb's head. There was a leaf and some stray bits of soil and moss stuck to Zeb's fur. Callus brushed them away, taking care with it. Slowly, Zeb reached up and carted at Callus's hair, taking out a few bits of forest as well. "You love me?" Zeb barked out a disbelieving laugh. "Yes," Callus told him without hesitation, still hovering above Zeb. They stared at each other, smiling like idiots. Then Zeb panicked. "Your datapad!" Callus yelped as Zeb stood without warning, still clinging to Callus as much as Callus clung to him. Jostled, Callus locked his legs around Zeb's waist and threw his arms around his shoulders. "Garazeb!" Callus snapped. Zeb carried him with ease despite Callus's scrambling, gaze searching over the forest floor with unbridled desperation. "I can't believe you just tossed it. That's the end of Heart's Rebellion you might have just lost." "Are you serious?" Callus growled. "That's not an excuse to just manhandle me without so much as a by your leave." Ignoring Callus's complaints, Zeb asked with a low whine, "What if it's cracked? What if it's damaged and you can't recover any of the data?" Tensing in Zeb's hold, a shiver of very real fear worked its way through his entire being. "Criff, you're right. Find it." "I'm looking." "And watch where you're stepping," Callus cautioned, even as he looked around from his perch in Zeb's embrace, eyes scanning the forest floor. "What do you think I'm doing?" Zeb huffed, adjusting his firm grip on Callus. "At the moment, I think you're copping a feel," Callus informed him, quirking his eyebrow. Zeb went still, lips twisting sheepishly. His hands still didn't move, nor did he make any attempts to set Callus down. Sorry. "I never said I minded," Callus murmured, ignoring his blush when Zeb relaxed and chuckled breathily in his ear. Then, much louder, "Zeb, there!" Zeb followed the direction of Callus's triumphant gaze and snatched up the datapad with an excited noise. It was completely fine. "I'll keep hold of this till we get somewhere safer," Zeb informed him, tucking the datapad into his jumpsuit before striding his way through the forest. "You're still carrying me," Callus noted. "I know," Zeb nodded. "Zeb, where are you carrying me?" "To your room." "My room?" Zeb's already deep voice reached a hitherto unknown register that had Callus's thighs tensing reflexively. "Well, I bunk with a noisy, annoying teenager with magic powers, so I figured your room will have to do." "A wise choice," Callus rasped. "You will put me down before we reach the common areas where people might see us." "Oh, I will I?" "If you want to do what I think you want to do with me in my fortunately empty room, then yes, Garazeb Aurelius, you will." "Noted," Zeb huffed fondly. "But until then..." "Are you nuzzling me?" Zeb asked, sounding absolutely delighted. "Yes," Callus informed him primly, voice muffled by Zeb's neck. His own facial hair rubbed against Zeb's fur in a very, very satisfying manner. Callus breathed in deeply, surrounding himself in Zeb. Sharp fangs nipped at the space between Callus's neck and shoulder, making him jolt in pleasure. "Did you just bite me?" Callus inquired dreamily, bringing his face up from where it was pressed against Zeb. "Absolutely," Zeb purred smugly. "Do it some more when we get to my quarters," Callus requested. Zeb let out a growled curse, and just like that, Callus was thrown over his shoulder. While Callus felt completely comfortable and safe in Zeb's grasp, he was also very aware of how this looked. "Zeb!" Grip secure, Zeb started running, leaping off large stones and fallen tree trunks that would have been obstacles to anyone else. "It's faster this way." Zeb was doing an excellent job of keeping hold of Callus, but he moved so quickly and with such agility that it was a bit of a bumpy ride. Callus thought to protest, but Zeb made an excellent point. Callus relaxed as much as he could while he bounced against Zeb's shoulder. Fair enough. Zeb chuckled warmly, rough-edged and tinged with want. His breathing grew ever so slightly louder as he scaled a fallen piece of temple wall, making his own shortcut to the wing of the temple base in which Callus resided. "Do you believe in happily ever afters?" Zeb asked. Callus raised an eyebrow, even though he knew Zeb couldn't see it. Perhaps he'd sense it. If anyone could pick up on that sort of thing from Callus, it was Zeb. Callus thought the answer was fairly obvious, considering Zeb now knew he'd authored Heart's Rebellion. He even possessed the evidence. "I believe you're carrying proof that I do," Callus pointed out. Zeb squeezed Callus's thigh. "That I am, Alexander. That I am." The end. Authors and notes. Ezra, sniffling. Sabine, "You okay there, pal?" Ezra, "It's just..." Sabine, "You can tell me anything." Ezra, "Why didn't Tull go with Alec? They could have both fit in the escape pod. He didn't need to buy him time, and definitely not like that." Sabine, pulling up a chair. "Chopper, bring me 2 portions of rations, a large carafe of calf, 2 mugs, and the datapad with my annotated copy of Heart's Rebellion. We're going to be here a while." The end for real.
"I've written you down now. You will live forever. The virtues in the verse, and you will live forever. I've written you down now. Forever, oh.